Welcome to Parents Perspective. What's that? Alice watched her friend Beth wrapping birthday presents for her daughter. Oh, it's just a diary. I thought Jillian would enjoy something to write in at this stage. At this stage? Alice raised an eyebrow. She's just turning 8. What kind of writing could she be doing? Oh, she's always had scraps of paper or pads to write on whenever she wanted to, Beth replied. But she's not exactly a teenager with great secrets to confide. What does she need to write about? Alice wondered aloud. Oh, kids always have stories in their heads, and it's nice for them to have a place to put them, Beth reminded her friend. Sometimes the stories are quite short, though. What about spelling? You must have a heck of a time deciphering her stuff, Alice objected. Well, that's the interesting thing, Beth reflected. We don't correct her, and she's content to put down words the way she hears them. If we can't figure things out, we just ask, and she's happy to read her work to us. She reached for a pink ribbon. Interesting. Her work has actually made her a more enthusiastic reader, Beth smiled. Who knew? From a parent's perspective, how can we stimulate our children's writing at home? I'm Sandy Burt.
And I'm Linda Perlis. Our guest has visited with us before. She's a beloved children's author and can share a great deal about children's reading and writing. Mary Quattlebaum is a mother of an 8-year-old daughter and author of 15 children's books. She frequently visits elementary schools and does writing workshops with students. Over the years, she's discovered that many children welcome a chance to explore new ideas, feelings, and thoughts in writing, whether poetry, stories, or journal entries. Welcome back to Parents Perspective, Mary.
Thank you, Linda and Sandy. It's delightful to be here.
With all the media stimulation, movies, TV, videos, video games, and so forth, available to today's kids, what's the lure of books and writing?
Well, that word media stimulation is a especially good phrase because TV and video games, as you know, they're very stimulating, especially visually, but they don't encourage reflection. They're passive activities, so they don't really require much thought. Reading, on the other hand, is a very active intellectual activity. You're not just moving your eyes over the page, but you're making meaning from words. And writing is a process that's sort of one step beyond reading. Again, you're not just moving your pen over the paper, but you're choosing words to create a certain meaning.
It must help children's language development to have to write because you have to use language in a way that works.
Right. You're really thinking carefully about which word to choose and what order to put your words in when you write.
There are so many skills we want our youngsters to develop, but why do you feel that writing is important?
Well, expository writing is very important to critical thinking, to kind of learning to think through and make sense out of information. And we want our kids to grow into adults that can think critically, that can make sense out of an issue. So expository writing is a way of thinking through, articulating, and documenting ideas. Now, creative writing, though, is just as valuable. Through creative writing, and by that I mean writing in a journal, writing poetry, writing stories, kids are expressing their emotions. Through their writing, they're articulating feelings, and they can explore and develop a sense of self through their writing. And you often see young people, middle schoolers and high schoolers, turning to journals and poetry as a way of articulating, thinking through, expressing their emotions, and exploring different aspects of themselves. And that, of course, is a very valuable thing for children to do through their writing.
It's interesting because we think particularly of adolescence as a time of sort of beginning to understand yourself, who you are, figuring it all out. And it would seem to me that if you have a journal, someplace to put down your thoughts, that that's a help in sorting out the entire process.
Mm-hmm. And I certainly went through that as an adolescent, and I know many adolescents who do. You know, you're so full of feelings. They're roiling around inside of you. And just the act of sitting down and writing them out can be very calming and can really help you to make sense of your reactions to life and your feelings.
The same reason many adults go right ahead and keep journaling.
Yes.
We'll take a short break now and be right back to continue our discussion on encouraging the writing process.
The popular new book, Raising a Successful Child, Discover and Nurture Your Child's Talents, by Sandra Burt and Linda Perlis, is available at all major bookstores and on the web.
Welcome back to Parents' Perspective. We are talking with author and parent Mary Quattlebaum about encouraging the writing process in children.
Are there certain ages or developmental stages that are best for us to encourage children to write?
That's a very good question, because many people think that you learn to write in school. So no need to think about writing until you're in second grade, third grade, and the teachers will take care of that. Well, actually, writing starts much earlier. It starts in the pre-literacy stage. And parents can foster habits and attitudes that can do a lot preparing kids to not just learn, but to actually enjoy reading and writing. And it's important, of course, to start that young. If you try to say to your kid at the age of 12, well, we're going to sit down and do some writing together as a family, you're going to get, no way. But if you introduce that idea to your little one that's 2 or 3 years old, there's a sense of excitement. Oh, you know, I get to be a writer too. I see mommy and daddy writing. I see them making lists. I get to do that too. So there is a lot that families can do, that parents can do together when their kids are young. And I'll just sort of give a few examples. One thing is to be a good example yourself. Do your kids see you reading and writing? Another thing, of course, that's important is to read aloud. In that way, again, at a very young age, kids associate words and books with the pleasure of being with their parents. So you're sort of setting up that connection very early that books are pleasurable, writing is pleasurable, the parents enjoy it, it's something that we do together. I know that since you have children and grandchildren, you've probably heard a lot of little ones tell a lot of stories, and they do love to tell their own stories. You can write these down. And this is something that my husband did when my daughter was 3 and 4 years old. She would dictate her little stories to him, and he would write them down, and they would make little booklets together. She was just sort of absorbing this idea that someone makes books. They don't just arrive fully formed, but someone has to sit down and actually write them and create them. And again, early on, kids can recognize that there's pleasure in that, and there's a sense of personal power in that as well. And they begin to think of themselves, again, at a very young age as being writers. Another thing kids really like to do is family activities that involve writing. Do a family poem together where each family member contributes a line, a poem about the family pet or a recent outing or a person, a grandparent. What a great present to send to Nana, a poem that the whole family writes about her. And especially enjoyable summer writing activity might be to keep a writing journal. And again, this could be a journal composed of writing and photographs. You could encourage your kids to write postcards, mail them to friends, even mail them back home. And again, they could be part of that travel journal booklet that they'd be keeping.
And it seems like with all of these things that you're giving, all these ideas, that the bottom line is that as parents, we need to be accepting of whatever it is that comes out. We don't say, well, wait a minute, you spelled that wrong, or this doesn't rhyme.
Or don't you mean such and such? Mm-hmm. Don't you mean to say it this way? We can't do that.
Yes, yes, I know. And as a parent, you really have to fight that desire to step in or to edit it or to fix the writing, because that's so off-putting to the child. And again, you kind of want to foster this attitude that everybody's contribution to the family writing project is valuable in whatever form it comes out.
And I was thinking about when your husband was writing down what your daughter said, how empowering it must be that the words come out of a child's mouth. It's pre-writing. They don't know how to write them down. And there they are on a page. That's just what I said. Isn't that neat? And, of course, we remember when the kids were little, they would ask us to read stories to them, and maybe we would embellish them a little, but they would remember just the way they were supposed to be. So they remember what's down there. That's very significant.
And it's wonderful to keep these projects, you know, whether you're doing a family poem together or a little booklet with your child dictating the story, because they become a family record that the whole family can turn to over time. But kids are just so delighted to see how they develop over time, you know, not just in photographs, but they'll say, I can't believe I didn't know how to write when I was 3 years old. Look at that. Now that I'm five, I just, you know, how to do it so much better.
I discovered something from my 22-year-old son. And in a drawer, it was a little one of those old composition books that a very smart teacher had used as a teaching tool at school when the kids must have been in first grade. So they were really at the beginning of figuring out how things could be written and spelled. And she went through with each child. My child was just one member of the class, but each child had his or her own composition book. And the teacher would write a letter to the child, one line, dear so-and-so, what did you do this weekend? And then the child would have to respond. And so this was a whole year's worth, and it was so much fun looking at this, but I was seeing how this particular child became more comfortable with the written language and the misspellings, and then how certain things got spelled better by the end and the syntax and so forth. It was just so interesting. And I would think that's the kind of thing we could do in a much less formal way over vacations. Leave a child, what would you like for breakfast? Or if you look in the drawer, you will find a treat or something like that.
Right. And another family project that people seem to enjoy is a scrapbook of vacation, where everyone chooses their own photograph. And it's not necessarily the photograph where the parents look the best. The parents could look really goofy, but we have to let that happen. And then the kids get to contribute their own captions. So again, you know, as a parent, you're thinking, oh, you know, I want the scrapbook to look tidy. I want it to look nice. But this way you'll have something that's kind of hodgepodgey, that's certainly going to be kind of funny, and is going to be a reflection of every single member of the family, too.
Mary, are there certain books or poems that you have found to be especially stimulating to help kids move on to their own work?
I've discovered that it's not so much which books or which poems to share as more an attitude. And again, are there lots of books in the home? And not just books that are tidy on shelves, but books that are on coffee tables or in the bathroom where kids can just kind of pick them up and explore them at will. I had a brother who loved to read the encyclopedia. This is in the days before there were online encyclopedias. And I was fortunate in growing up in a household that wasn't necessarily tidy, so the books weren't always on the shelves. And we had a wide variety of books. So my brother could read his encyclopedias, and, you know, and I could read fiction and poetry because we had all of that to choose from. And again, the example that you set as a parent is very important. Kids are smart, and they know that we make time and we make space for the things that are important to us. So if we're making time to go to the library, if we're making time to go to bookstores, if we're making time to not just read books together, but to discuss them, to talk about them, those are important messages to send kids. And reading aloud, that seems to be something that stops when kids start to read them to themselves, like around the age of 6 or 7. But I know people who continue to have family read-alouds even when their kids are in high school. And I'm certainly continuing to do that with my daughter. My husband and daughter and I do this every night. And it's a way of kind of connecting around a book and talking about a book and just sharing ideas around a book. But it creates some wonderful memories, too. So it's not just something that's good for you, like eating your broccoli, but it's something that's just intrinsically enjoyable. It's very pleasurable.
We'll take a short break now and be right back to finish our discussion on encouraging the writing process.
For an audio CD of any parent's perspective show, send a check or money order for $15 with your name, mailing address, and phone number to Parents Perspective, P.O. Box 42283, Washington, D.C., 20015.
Welcome back to Parents Perspective. We're talking with author and parent Mary Quattlebaum about encouraging the writing process in children. I remember visiting friends who have one son. He's, of course, a grown-up now and married, who were still reading to him. He was either in late middle school or he was in high school. And we were visiting, we were sleeping over, and I went in to say goodnight to him, whatever. And there, his father and his mother were reading Les Mis with him. And every night they would read part of it and they would discuss it. Mm-hmm. I thought, never occurred to me to read to my kids when they were this age, but I thought it was wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
What are some characteristics that are common to children's writing that we should be aware of as parents?
Oh, this is such a good question. Again, I've noticed going in and working with kids in the schools that, especially when they're young, they're very resistant to revising. And, you know, it's something they learn in school. And they have to learn. It's an important part of the writing process. But it seems less important at home to focus on that. And just to create an environment at home where writing is a pleasurable activity. So again, when my daughter is writing, I really try not to step in and fix things. And even if she asks for suggestions, my tendency is to explore with her some of her ideas as opposed to me stepping in and saying, you know, it really would sound better if you did this or if you wrote that. One other thing that actually is kind of funny, depending on how much TV kids watch or how many video games they play, they can tend to think that a story has to be very, very dramatic. In other words, something gets blown up, someone dies, and that's how you get to the end of the story. So to kind of counteract that tendency, I found it helpful to share books and talk about them, books that dramatize just ordinary moments or events in a child's life, books about a birthday party, for example. And just two examples of wonderful books are The Snowy Day by Ezra Jack Keats and Owl Moon by Jane Yolen, because they're very compelling stories, but they're about everyday moments and moments that many of us have had in our lives. And it's interesting to just let the kids see that you can create a story where nothing big and violent has to happen.
The other thing that I would think is probably characteristic of children's writing, besides obviously being unaware of grammatical rules or sentence structure, any of that kind of stuff, or spelling, is that the process is much more important than the product.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm remembering kids who drew pictures, and then the parent wants to hang it up, and the kid's done. The kid really doesn't want to ever see it again. They don't care. But they enjoyed the process, and I was thinking, I assume that that also happens with writing.
Yes, that's a very good point, and it's something else that I wanted to bring up, how important it is to respect how the child feels about the writing. They may not wish to share it. They may not wish to see it hung up. And that's important to just let them tuck it away. On the other hand, there are often kids that love to perform their writing. And so it's nice to offer them a chance to do that as well.
Kind of follow their lead, is mm-hmm. what you're saying.
Mm-hmm. Which means, I guess, they could write plays.
Oh, yes, yes. And again, in the elementary schools, kids actually love that. I mean, it's one thing that I've noticed, especially at that age, kids love writing as a communal activity. And often we think of writing as a very solitary activity. But if you offer them the chance for example, to do a group poem, to write and perform a play, to write a poem and then perform it in front of the class. They really relish that, and writing becomes something that just is very interesting and exciting to them.
So it sounds like on a vacation or when children are home, if they have a friend over or they can do it as a family or something, there's lots of ways to do this kind of thing together.
Yes. And I'll share a little personal story. This can get dangerous if you're trying to sleep late on a Saturday morning, because that happened to my husband and I. My daughter woke up at 6 o'clock and she decided she was going to write haiku. And so she comes bouncing in about 6:20. I have 10 haiku that I've written, and we shall all perform them. And my husband and I and the dog are going, oh.
I like that she directed this is what we're going to do now.
Later.
For later, right?
Okay. I would love to ask you a question, if that's all right. I know that you have children and grandchildren. What are some writing activities that you might have done? Like, what have you found to be pleasurable when your kids were little?
You've already covered what went on in my house. They all wrote poetry, and I had to save it in folders because there were three brothers, and they weren't necessarily going to let the other brothers know what they were doing, but they all did that. And we had a very cute situation because the desk my husband had when he was a little boy was the same desk that these kids had in their bedrooms at different points in their lives. That was cute. So they would sit and write where he sat and wrote.
Mm-hmm.
I remember my oldest son in kindergarten, one of the activities was the journal every day and great big sheets of the beginning writing paper. And they were to dictate to assistants in the classroom the story, and then they were to illustrate it. Well, my son was writing, not writing beautifully as you describe early writers, but he could write by himself, and they didn't want to let him do that because the other children weren't doing that. I had to go to the principal and have her come and watch and see that he could do that. So we have those treasures of his very early stories. And then they had the experiences like Sandy described, where the teacher would write a note, what happened to you this weekend, or what is your favorite activity around the dinner table, stuff like that. I love those notebooks. Mm-hmm. Those are really wonderful.
We had kids who wrote all the time. But one of the things I remember for early writing was I would leave little notes for the kids. And it wasn't wonderful writing on my part, but then sometimes they would answer the note. And sometimes they would leave notes on their doors, do not come in, or those kinds of things. That was there.
That was definitely the early writing in homeschool.
Early writing. But one thing that we're using now with our grandson is when we go visit, we generally send a little photo album of pictures, and I'm sometimes writing little captions. But the last time we were there, because he's now very interested in letters and stringing letters together and that kind of thing, we used some pictures of what he did when he was with us and made a little book consisting of four pieces of paper. And we would put down what he would say. And we went to a butterfly garden in a museum, that kind of thing. And so we'd say, hi, butterfly, bye-bye, butterfly, or that kind of thing. And he's very happy to see those pictures of himself and the butterflies and that
yeah.
kind of thing.
How wonderful to see yourself in a book.
Oh, yes.
I'm a character in a
That's
book.
Exactly.
Yes.
The ego takes over. For our listeners who want to pursue further some of these issues, are there resources that you can suggest?
One especially excellent book, it's called Families Writing, and it's by Peter Stillman. And he offers all kinds of suggestions for family-related writing activities. Another good resource, there's a book on mother-daughter book groups, which would also work if you wanted to establish a father-son book group. But essentially, it's both generations, a parent and a child, meeting together with a group of friends, maybe once a month, maybe once every 6 weeks, and discussing books.
That sounds like a wonderful idea.
Yes.
Is there a title?
I know it's by Shireen Dodson, and I can give you the title. It's a long title. I don't have it offhand, but it's Mother-Daughter Book Groups, something like that.
Well, this has been a wonderful time to be able to learn some experiences that we can do with our children and further ways we can help our children develop their own language capacities and feeling of communication. So thank you so much, Mary Quattlebaum, for being with us again today.
Thank you, Sandy and Linda.
Our gift for our first caller is an autographed copy of one of Mary Quattlebaum's wonderful children's books. Just call us toll-free at 1-800-791-8573 with your name and mailing address. That's 1-800-791-8573 with your name and mailing address and mention show number 360. Please spell anything that's not obvious. That's a big help to us. If you can, tell us what station you're tuning into.
Visit our website, www.parentsperspective.org, where you can even listen to a show of your choice. This is Sandy Burt and Linda Perlis. We're glad you could share Parents' Perspective. Our sound engineer is Drew Chapp. Music for this program was composed and performed by Jonathan Burt. Mm-hmm.